Data Agenda Datenschutz Podcast, der Expertentalk mit Professor Dr. Rolf Schwartmann.
Hello everybody, this is Data Agenda Datenschutz Podcast. The topic today is the AI Act and the starting blocks, specific obligations for companies and employees. Today is April the 29th, 2024, and my guest is Kai Zenner. Hello, Kai.
Hi, Rolf. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yes, I'm happy that you're here. Kai is the head of office of Axel Voss, member of European Parliament, and he took part, Kai and Axel, they both took part in the negotiations on the AI Act, and Kai provided significant input. And today I want to talk to him about Article 25 in particular. But first, Kai, can you give us a short impulse on the state of play? The AI Act was adopted in March for the first time and in April for the second time last week. And what are the next steps? Can you tell me what we can expect right now?
Yeah, sure. So indeed, it's probably a little bit confusing for many people out there because you are hearing all the time that there is a new vote on the European AI Act in the parliament or among the member states. And then you hear again that there will be a vote and so on and so on. The background is that when we strike the deal, the political deal in the end of December, there were still a lot of open points that then needed to be discussed in January on technical level. Then you had a second deal, a final deal on the AI Act. This deal needed to be voted on in committee level and then in plenary level and among the member states. This happened at the beginning of the year or in February. And then after that, the legal service and the lawyer linguists had a lot to do because we negotiated very, very, very swiftly, and the text was not super of high quality, at least in some areas. And therefore, yeah, our legal specialists needed to have a second and a third look. And basically now their final feedback was voted again, first in the committee and last week on Thursday, finally in the plenary, so among all parliamentarians. And now the ministers from the member states will have also a final look. And after this final look, which will probably take place this week or next week, everything is ready for the final adoption and, let's say, publication in the official EU journal. And then we need to wait another 21 days, and then the AI Act will really finally enter into force.
So probably we talk about June, July, something like that.
Yes, indeed. So maybe there's a remote chance that the publication will already happen in mid or end of May, but very likely it's more in June or July.
Okay, thank you. So let's dive a little bit deeper in some particular topics of the AI regulation, the AI Act. Kai, you and me and Tobias Kaber, we are working on a guide, a scientific guide with practical impacts in Germany, which is translated in English to explain the AI Act. And the manuscript is ready, and the typesetting is beginning this week, and we have spent a lot of time on AI Act the last weeks. And today I'd like to point out a specific topic, which is Article 25, the responsibilities along the value chain. especially maybe Article 25, paragraph 1C of the AI Act, which says that a deployer can become a provider, and it is a little bit risky to work with ChatGPT. I assume when I think about that, can you explain this a little bit further, where the specific risks are?
Yes, sure. So the original idea of the European Parliament, and actually I work quite a lot on this article, was really to include all those actors that are playing a part along the AI value chain in the obligations or in the fulfillment of the European AI Act. So really in order to make sure that not only in the end European companies will become deployer and provider of a high-risk AI system and therefore facing all those new obligations, but indeed also trying to bring Microsoft or Oracle or other companies that are, for example, providing a model, providing a database in the AI Act, and at least making sure that those companies are sharing all the necessary information with so-called downstream companies that are then putting everything together and are commercializing this kind of package as, for example, high-risk AI system in the European internal market. This was the main idea behind it. And with those three scenarios that you mentioned already in paragraph 1A, B, and C, we just wanted to cover all those main cases that we were aware of. And for that, we were drawing back on scientific articles from universities, think tanks, and so on, that did quite a lot of substantial work on it. But you are right, especially scenario B and C are creating some legal uncertainty. Very shortly on B, B is saying if you are making a substantial modification to a high-risk AI system that is already on the market, you are becoming as a new provider. Here, it's all about what can be understood about substantial modification. But yes, it's also true. This is probably not so easy to trigger this threshold because it's already a high-risk AI system. And if there is guidelines available on substantial modification, it's rather likely that the threshold for triggering a substantial modification will be put higher by the European Commission in order to not create a situation that suddenly after you are operating with an AI system and the AI system is getting new input data, you would immediately become a provider because no one from the co-legislator wanted it. So, again, some legal uncertainty around this scenario, but probably we will be fine with it. More complicated is scenario C that you mentioned already, because the original version was also only focusing on high-risk AI systems that had a specific intended purpose, for example, to use them in the employment sector. And then only if you modify it and by this modification, the system would become a high-risk AI system, you would become provider. If it would have stayed with this wording or with this approach, I think it would also not be triggered that often. But at the end of the negotiations, one thing was added, which is including a general purpose AI system, meaning ChatGPT. And this could indeed mean that in the future, if ChatGPT is being used by a university administration or by a company for HR purposes and so on. Certainly, by using it for this purpose, this company or this public authority would become a provider of a high-risk AI system and would need to fulfill all the obligations of the AI Act. And if you look in paragraph 2 in the third sentence, it's being said there, this paragraph shall not apply in cases where the initial provider has clearly specified that its AI system is not to be changed into a high-risk AI system and therefore does not fall under the obligation to hand over documentation, which means in our example, that OpenAI would not even need or would not be required to cooperate with this university and help them to fulfill all those new provider obligations that the university is facing. And yeah, the big question is then, should this university in the future restrict the use of ChatGPT for all professors, for all students maybe, and so on and so on. A lot of open questions. And I think we will see a lot of activities here from enforcement bodies on national level, on European level, and probably also a lot of discussions among legal researchers.
Okay, thank you. You focused on Annex 3, number 3, education and vocational training, but it's also relevant for number 4, employment, workers management. If AI systems intended to be used to make decisions affecting terms of work-related relationships, so tell me what is not in a company related or affecting terms of work-related relationships?
Yes, indeed. The point that you are now making was also one point we criticized Axel Voss and myself nonstop. If you interpretate this wording rather broadly, then everything and nothing is covered and included.
So then we also have to talk about penalties, about sanctions for misuse of these AI systems. If I have a look at Article 99, there are rather high penalties, 15 billion euro for misuse, if I don't treat it right. So what do you think about that? Is it possible to use ChatGPT in a company if I think like that, or a university, or is it just too risky, even if it's not high risk like ChatGPT?
Yeah. So first of all, for model providers, so companies like OpenAI and others, they would fall under a specific article, Article 101, which is specifying, as I said, specific penalties for model provider. Indeed, a company that would use ChatGPT and let's say develop it or change it into a high-risk AI system, Article 99 would apply. And I think you said billion, it's of course million. So it would be, for example, if they violate a prohibition from Article 5, it would be 35 million. Or if they are violating a high-risk obligation, for example, from Article 9 to Article 15, it would be 50 million. But still, of course, a very substantial maximum potential penalty. And yes, indeed, for let's go back to our example, a university where ChatGPT is being used by professors could in principle face such let's say penalties. However, we as co-legislators added a few points in this Article 99. We, for example, underlined that penalties are not everything, that there are also other enforcement measures like warnings or non-monetary measures. You can find it in paragraph one. Then that there will be additional guidelines from the Commission that are specifying certain, for example, use cases or certain scenarios that the enforcement bodies should also take into account the interests of SMEs and startups. And then there are also other articles that are going, other paragraphs that are going in this direction, like paragraph 6, again, talking about SMEs, but also paragraph 7, which is very similar to the GDPR, which is giving some points or presenting some points that should be taken into consideration when enforcement authority is thinking about a fine. For example, if for this company or for this public authority, it was possible to fulfill a certain obligation. In our example, if they didn't have any input from the model provider, from OpenAI, then of course for them it's difficult. It doesn't mean that they will not face any penalty, but it's at least something that probably is taken into account and is reducing the amount of penalty. But again, in conclusion, in summary, it means a big legal uncertainty that many players are facing, especially when they are using generative AI, because the whole AI Act was built on rather static AI systems. But ChatGPT is a general purpose AI system that you can use for a lot of things, and therefore this intended purpose is not really such a safeguard anymore for companies to not suddenly become a provider or a deployer of an AI system.
Okay. First of all, thanks for correcting me. It's only millions, not billions, but it's enough, even if it's 15 millions. Yes. Okay, so we talked about the penalties, and now maybe we should talk about the remedies. What should someone, entrepreneurs or an entity, due to create AI literacy? There is an Article 4 in the AI Act. Providers and developers providers and deployers of AI systems shall take measures to ensure that, to the best extent, a sufficient level of AI literacy of their staff and any other persons dealing with the operation and use of AI system on their behalf should be experienced, educated, and trained in using AI. Isn't it a good recommendation for a company to create AI literacy make a guideline or something like that to teach their staff or any other people who work with these AI on their behalf become a little bit smarter using it?
Yes. So here, when it comes to this article, we need to talk a little bit more in detail about its place in the AI Act and maybe references that you can see along the whole chain of articles and responsibilities in the AI Act. First of all, this article is connected to some other articles, like, for example, the obligations for the deployer. There in paragraph 2 of Article 26, you see that a deployer needs to fulfill the human oversight obligations of Article 14, that needs there to be fulfilled by the provider, but the deployer needs to make sure that the person that is supervising or doing the human oversight also has AI literacy or competences on AI. You also find it in some articles for the provider on technical documentation, on transparency, and so on and so on. And the term of literacy in AI is really something that is across the whole legal text, because the whole legal text has this objective of creating trustworthy AI systems. And this, of course, requires that the people who are developing those AI systems understand them. Then they do know, in principle at least, how they are operating and so on and so on. And then, of course, also the deployers have at least a basic knowledge of how to use them in a safe way. And this brings me to more general point that the article for AI literacy is a kind of broad goal or objective that especially the European Parliament wanted to include in the AI Act. But let's say, there are a few links to concrete obligations, but otherwise it's right now not really clear what this means for companies or for universities in the end. Do they need to educate their whole staff and also external service contractors? And how do they need to educate them? Is a guideline enough, or do they need a certified training, and so on and so on? And going back to our ChatGPT case at the university, also this article means that there is a higher level of legal uncertainty now in the next months and maybe even years, because there are just so many new obligations without right now a clear to-do list of when and how to fulfill those tasks.
Okay, so to summarize it, basic knowledge for everybody in the university, in the company, in the entity, and specific knowledge for the specialists in the entities who are working a little bit deeper with AI.
Yeah. Okay. This would be my understanding, but well, again, it depends on the enforcement bodies now, how they read it.
Okay, so let's hope that they're not so strict as the text of the AI Act is. And well, thank you for your insights in the AI Act in the starting blocks, specific obligations for companies and employees, was our topic today. Thanks a lot, Kai Zenner, head of Axel Voss office in European Parliament. Have a good day. And thanks a lot to all listeners of Data Agenda, Datenschutz podcast. Hear you next time. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Goodbye, Kai.
Hi. Thank you again.
Das war der Data Agenda Datenschutz Podcast, der Expertentalk mit Professor Dr. Rolf Schwartmann.